Hello there. You're listening to the Black Country Talking News. I hope you're keeping well. This week's edition is for the 13th of October, 2021.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by sightloss charity Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. All you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Country Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods: calling 01902 213 210, visiting our website www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by simply searching Beacon Black Country Talking News and hitting the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Simon. And reading this week, we have myself, Rob, Mina, Kerry, Ed, Helen, Heather, Ian, Simon, Angela, Liz, Christine, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country, we have the quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, information about reading apps, the weather, news about sight loss today, sounds of nature, and rounding all that off, we get to hear about the Black Country's very own Tiger King. But first, we have our Guess the Sound quiz. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. Now we start, as always, with some local news. Brought us by Christine, Liz, Ian, and first up, it's Angela.
Wolverhampton has failed in its bid to become the UK's next city of culture. The city was one of 12 areas to submit bids that did not make the long list for the prestigious title, which is currently held by Coventry. Council leader Ian Brookfield said he was disappointed with the decision, but insisted that Wolverhampton would reign as the de facto city of culture. He also revealed that the Department for Digital Media, Culture and Sport had added insult to injury by telling the council its bid for Great Yarmouth and East Suffolk had been unsuccessful. In a rejection letter sent to the council, Culture Secretary Nadine Dorries, MP, said, "Unfortunately, we were only able to invite 8 places to submit a full application for the 2025 title, and your bid for Great Yarmouth and East Suffolk has not been successful." Mr. Brookfield said, "We are disappointed with the decision, but in my mind we will still be the de facto city of culture and will press on with our plans. It adds insult to injury that we appear to have been mixed up with Great Yarmouth. No disrespect to them, it's a nice place to visit for a few hours, but I'd much rather be in Wolverhampton, the home of the Industrial Revolution." Great Yarmouth's bid was also unsuccessful. The 8 areas that made the long list for 2025 are Armagh City, Banbridge and Craigavon, Bradford, Cornwall, County Durham, Derby, Southampton, Stirling and Wrexham County Borough.
Children from across the Black Country are now being offered their coronavirus vaccine as health bosses hope to get as many people protected against the virus ahead of winter. The latest rollout in the vaccination programme has begun in a number of schools across the region, with children aged between 12 to 15 years old eligible to receive a single dose of the Pfizer vaccine. It is hoped the programme will provide protection to school-aged children, as well as helping to reduce the transmission of COVID in the wider population. Like the flu and HPV vaccines, COVID-19 jabs will be delivered by local school-age immunisation services, who will work closely with schools to identify all eligible children. Alternative arrangements will be made for any children who are vulnerable or homeschooled. An e-consent form will be sent out to parents, guardians and carers by schools, which will also include information on the vaccination. Sally Roberts, Chief Nursing Officer for the Black Country and West Birmingham Clinical Commissioning Group, said, "Offering young people aged between 12 and 15 their COVID-19 vaccine marks a significant milestone in the vaccination programme. We want to make sure as many people as possible are protected against this virus, especially as we approach the winter months. A single dose of Pfizer vaccine for children in this age group will provide them with protection from the virus and may also help to reduce transmission of COVID-19, preventing further disruption to the classroom."
Bus passengers across the Black Country are having to cope with reduced services after National Express West Midlands changed the timetables on a number of routes. Services to Dudley, Sedgley, Wolverhampton, West Bromwich, Wensfield, Smethwick, Tiverdale and Willenhall were reduced on Sunday, October the 3rd. A National Express West Midlands spokesman said, "We're temporarily reducing the frequencies on some of our services so that we can ensure consistency and reliability. We are really sorry that some of our customers have been experiencing delays to their bus journeys lately." More than 20 routes were reduced in Birmingham and in the Black Country. The 1, 2, 40, 51, 59, 74, 79, 80, 87 and 529 services were cut back. National Express West Midlands blamed their recent problems with punctuality on the pandemic and nationwide shortage of drivers. The spokesman added, "Various issues have been affecting the punctuality and reliability of our services recently, including continuing sickness and self-isolation due to the pandemic, as well as the UK-wide difficulties in recruiting drivers and many large-scale sets of roadworks causing congestion and delaying buses. From Sunday, October the 3rd, we temporarily tweaked the timetables of some Birmingham and Black Country services to improve their reliability. The bus operator is tackling the ongoing problems of their drivers being abused verbally and physically, with new, sharper cameras helping police apprehend attackers." A National Express West Midlands spokesperson said, "National Express West Midlands staff have the right to work without fear of assault or intimidation. We will prosecute anybody who does not respect this right."
A Black Country council has seized nearly 50 blue badges in recent months after people were found to be misusing them. Disabled parking permits allow eligible people to park in specific spaces on car parks, sometimes free of charge. They also allow people to park on single or double yellow lines for up to 3 hours if it is safe to do so and it does not cause an obstruction. People eligible for a blue badge include those who are unable to walk or have very considerable difficulty walking 80 metres, and also people who have a hidden disability and qualify under new rules introduced in 2019. The badge can only be used by the named badge holder or by a person who has dropped off or is collecting the badge holder from the place where the vehicle is parked. It's a criminal offence for anyone else to use the badge in any other circumstance. But in the last 12 months, there has been a number of cases across the Dudley Borough where people are using someone else's blue badge when either the person is not with them or they have stayed in the car. Dudley Council has therefore seized 47 blue badges since November last year. When the badge is seized, it is returned to the rightful owner and they are reminded how the blue badge should be used. Councillor Nicholas Barlow, the authority's Cabinet Member for Health and Adult Social Care, said blue badges are there to be used by the people in our communities who are most in need. Anyone who misuses a blue badge is taking a space from someone who really needs it. They are breaking the law and this must stop. We will be proactively protecting the rights of people who have blue badges and pursue misuse through the courts.
Wolves have applied to take part in a safe standing trial due to start on January the 1st. The club is one of six from the Premier League and Championship to apply to join the pilot project. Wolves became the first club in the top flight to install rail seating 2 years ago when a section of the South Bank was converted. They have since been followed by Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United and Tottenham in introducing rail seating. The programme, which will allow those clubs whose applications are successful to offer a licensed safe standing area, was announced last month by the Sports Grounds Safety Authority. It will end a blanket ban on standing in the top two tiers of English football, which has been in place for more than 25 years. An SGSA spokesman said, "Applications to become early adopters of licensed standing in seated areas for the 2021-22 season are now closed. The SGSA is now reviewing the applications and will provide advice and recommendations to the Department for Digital, Culture, Media and Sport for final decision." Standing areas in the two top tiers of English football were outlawed in the wake of the 1989 Hillsborough disaster, which led to the deaths of 97 Liverpool fans. The introduction of the licensed standing areas follows a commitment by the government in its 2019 general election manifesto, and it is a move which has cross-party support.
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from the Beacon Centre. I'm back with another roundup of everything that's been going on at the charity. First up, we all know, and it's one of our favourite sayings here at Beacon, a small change can make a big difference. That's why our sight loss advisor and lifestyle coordinator, Mina, has been backing our Bright for Sight campaign, as she knows the difference that a small change can make when it comes to making the most of your vision. It could be something as simple as using a brightly coloured chopping board that contrasts against the food you need to chop up, making it easier to see. We've been asking people to show their support for the campaign by wearing the brightest outfits on October the 14th, World Sight Day. So, depending on when you're listening to this, it may have already taken place. But you can still find out more and make a donation via our website, www.beaconvision.org/bright-4-sight. Or, to donate £5 now, text BRIGHT to 70085. Texts cost £5 plus one standard rate message. Now, does your home need a new look? Or perhaps you're rejigging a room after one of the kids has been packed off to university? Well, whatever your reason, if you've got an unwanted piece of furniture with plenty of life left in it, why not donate it to Beacon? We offer a free collection service if needed and can sell your item in one of our shops to help support people with sight loss. Call our stores now on 01902 880 111. Press option 2 to find out more. I've got a content warning next. We're talking about the C word. Yes, sir, that's right. We've now got less than 80 days to go until December the 25th. Who else has started their Christmas prep? Well, if you want to get ahead, you can now tick off Christmas cards from your list as we've launched our 2021 Beacon Collection. There's 5 different festive designs to choose from and they cost just £3.99 per pack, or you can get 2 packs for £7. Pick them up in our shops and help support someone with sight loss at Christmas. If you want to find out more about our shops, head to our website, www.beaconvision.org/r-shops. Lastly this week, we were delighted to hold an open day at Beacon recently to showcase all the amazing activities our lifestyle team offer. From cooking and craft to catch up and cycling, we really have got something for everyone. If you'd like to find out more about how we could support you with your sight loss, call 01902 880 111. That's it for this week. I'll be back to catch up with you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Cheers for that, Helen. Up next, we have another block of local news. And starting us off, we hear from Christine.
Dozens of objections have been lodged against plans to demolish the landmark Dudley Hippodrome and build a £25 million university park in its place. Dudley Council submitted a planning application earlier this year to knock down the derelict 1930s building on Castle Hill. It was last used in 2009 as a bingo hall and since then has fallen into disrepair. But supporters of the former theatre are unhappy with the plans to destroy the impressive Art Deco venue, which boasts more than 70 years of entertainment history. Dudley Hippodrome Development Trust has long fought the council's plans to destroy the hippodrome. In the group's objections to the plans, they said, Arts Council England has just identified Dudley as one of the priority places in the UK where arts and culture are significantly underfunded by ACE and is consequently substantially boosting their investment in Dudley to help the locality grow their arts and culture offering in order to benefit their communities, which is great news for everyone. So can this be the right time for Dudley Council to press ahead with their application to demolish the area's largest single arts and culture asset, the Dudley Hippodrome, the only purpose-built professional theatre in the area? Theatres Trust has also put forward an objection saying, Theatres Trust has met with the council several times over the last few years to discuss both the Hippodrome and the wider issue of culture within Dudley. We have strongly encouraged the council on all occasions to consider the opportunities provided by the Hippodrome.
Gavin Williamson has called for more homes to be built on the wastelands of the Black Country in order to save the Greenbelt. Williamson wants to see a shift away from Greenbelt development. In a major intervention on the furor surrounding local housing plans, the South Staffordshire MP said there needed to be a complete shift away from developing on green sites across the region. He said it was completely wrong that South Staffordshire was having to give up land for around 4,000 homes to make up a shortfall from other local authorities, and said not enough was being done to unlock brownfield sites in the Black Country, which desperately needed regeneration. Dozens of greenbelt sites are under threat in the Black Country for 7,720 homes, while in South Staffordshire land is required for 8,881 homes, nearly half of which are to make up a shortfall from other areas. It came as Boris Johnson hinted that a move away from greenbelt development may be on the horizon, with reports suggesting that an overhaul of the country's planning laws may be scrapped. Former Cabinet Minister Mr. Williamson said he had been lobbying ministers for a new approach to development, which protects the greenbelt and focuses on bringing old industrial sites back into use.
Calls have been made to make Wolverhampton the future capital of the railway industry. Councillor Ellis Terrell said the new body, Great British Railways, should follow the Department for Levelling Up, Housing and Communities by establishing its headquarters in the city. He said the city's railway heritage, as well as its connections to the rest of the UK network, made it the ideal place for the new organisation to be based. Wolverhampton Railway Station has also undergone a major refurbishment as part of a £150 million scheme to improve transport across the city. At the Conservative Party conference this week, Transport Secretary Grant Shapps announced the launch of a competition to find the town or city which will become the home of Great British Railways. Mr. Shapps said this would bring a number of benefits to the winner, including new jobs. Despite the competition not being formally launched yet, Technor Whittick Councillor Terrell said he put forward Wolverhampton's case directly to the Secretary of State at the conference. The competition is looking for a town or city with a rich railway heritage and strong links to the network. The government has already committed the national headquarters will be outside London to ensure benefits go beyond the capital. Councillor Terrell said, as soon as the Transport Secretary announced a competition to find a town or city to be the headquarters for Great British Railway, I wanted to make sure that Wolverhampton put in an early bid.
Unison is demanding staff at Dudley's libraries should earn the living wage of £9.50 and brought in line with council employees in the borough. In 2017, library staff were transferred from Dudley Council to Greenwich Leisure Limited on a five-year contract, and their wages fell behind council employees. Greenwich is described as a charitable social enterprise for all the community, but Unison claims it is not rewarding staff in the spirit of its own ideals. The union revealed rates for library assistants are 12% below what they would have been had the service stayed within the council and have dropped below any other recognised council salary scale. Branch Secretary at Unison Dudley General Branch, Theresa Kelly, said, Greenwich makes a mockery of the term social enterprise. Its flawed business model is based on 0 hours contracts and job cuts. The public services it's pledged to maintain, such as leisure centres and libraries, are being eroded. He added, "It's nothing short of scandalous that an organisation which touts its progressive credentials offers wage levels so low that staff would struggle to make ends meet." Branch Chair Billy Gibson outlined the importance of libraries in Dudley. "Libraries are at the heart of communities. Many people in Dudley will be shocked that the people providing important public services are enduring poverty wages. This has to end." Unison will now encourage Dudley residents, library users and Dudley councillors to show their support for its call for Greenwich to raise pay to at least £9.50 an hour for all employees.
Wolverhampton Civic Hall will not see concerts return until autumn next year. The chief executive of AAG Presents, which is to take over managing the city's top live music venue, says he hopes it will open for the beginning of September. Steve Homer said, "There have been a couple of delays on the completion of the project, but we are hoping for handover towards the end of April and then a 12-week fit-out. We are looking to put on events from the start of September. The drive to get agents and promoters to bring their acts to the venue will start before Christmas this year." It had been previously said that the Civic and Wolf Run Hall would reopen early in the new year after the £40 million refurbishment was completed. It has been closed since 2015. Mr. Homer said AEG was looking to have a big local name to start. There could be one launch show or a week of shows to show the breadth of what we will offer. "We will be looking at a mixture of audiences to reintroduce people back to the Civic," he explained. London-based AEG's sister company, ASM Global, will also be improving the offer at the Civic Hall for corporate events. Mr. Homer said that the plan was also to employ people from the local area to operate the venue. Mr. Homer said key operational staff would be the first to be appointed. Speaking at the opening of the Black Country Business Festival, 57-year-old Mr. Homer, who was born in Wordsley and saw his first concert at the Civic Hall, The Clash, in 1978, said, "We are very excited about being the new operators."
Now it's time for the quiz, which this week focuses all around the world of photography.
Hello and welcome to the Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. How heavy was the first all-digital camera? Question 2. How many photos are posted on Facebook every day? Question 3. What could be dangerous about early photography? Question 4. What is unusual about the name Kodak? And finally, question 5. What is rarely seen on the faces in old photographs? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show. But for now, good luck.
Cheers, Mina. Thanks for those. I'll give them a ponder. Up next, we have another block of local news. And starting us off, we have Ian.
Stourbridge Tips appointment system is being upgraded after 170,000 online bookings since May last year. The Household Waste Recycling Centre operated throughout the pandemic, and now the new system will give people more options for their visit. Users can now check online for availability of slots that day, cancel and reschedule bookings, change reservation information including car details, and enable multiple weekday bookings. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Public Realm, said, "This online booking system was introduced in May last year to help us to continue operating during the COVID pandemic, whilst allowing people to stay safe by providing social distancing to keep this essential service up and running." Residents said they found the booking system extremely useful, and when they arrive at the tip, they were in and out in minutes, as there were no queues like there used to be. They also said there were changes they would like to see, such as being able to book a same-day appointment, easily cancel appointments, and change the registration of the car they were coming in. She said, "We have now replaced the temporary booking system with this one, which will give far more flexibility for our residents, and address the changes they were asking for. Of course, we understand that not everyone has access to a computer, so they can still book over the phone with Dudley Council Plus. To book a slot, visit the Dudley Council website or ring 0300 555 2345.
Metro fare dodgers will face a fine of up to £100 under plans for a tenfold increase in penalty charges. Bosses are proposing to ramp up fines for those travelling on trams without a valid ticket from £10 to a maximum of £100. They say the move, which is part of a new buy before you board scheme, is necessary because the current £10 fine is no longer a sufficient deterrent to dissuade fare dodgers. The fine will be reduced to £50 if paid within 14 days. A spokesperson for West Midlands Combined Authority said, "Whilst the vast majority of our customers travel with a valid ticket, from time to time they tell us how unfair it is that some people try to avoid paying the correct fare. In response, we are increasing the existing £10 penalty, which has been in place since 1999 and may no longer be a suitable deterrent. This increase will also bring the region more into line with fare evasion penalties seen in other big urban areas such as Greater Manchester and London. At the same time, we are planning the introduction of buy before you board ticketing, which will make it even easier for customers to ensure they have paid the correct fare before starting their tram journey. Together, these measures will help to ensure fairness as we look to further expand and improve our services to customers." It comes after the WMCA unveiled plans for further metro extensions around the region as part of a bid for £2 billion in government transport funding. Proposed extensions include Wensbury to Walsall along the old railway line, Wolverhampton city centre to New Cross Hospital, Hagley Road, Birmingham and Sandwell, and Briley Hill to Stourbridge.
Asda will extend its one-hour express delivery service to 96 stores, including 6 in the Black Country and Birmingham. It follows a successful trial launched in the summer that included the store's Walsall branch. The service gives customers access to Asda's full online range of more than 30,000 grocery products for delivery within the hour if they live within a 3-mile radius of a store in the scheme and order up to 70 items. But the cost for each delivery will be £8.50 regardless of how many items are ordered. A trial in stores in St Matthews, Walsall, Halifax, Poole and Rotherham in June exceeded bosses' expectations and the number of initial orders higher than predicted. Other stores to take on the service include Wolverhampton, Tipton, Briley Hill, Bloxwich and Small Heath. The supermarket also recently extended its partnership with Uber Eats to more than 300 stores, although the number of products available is far smaller. If the latest stage of the rollout is successful, bosses hope to expand it further. Simon Gregg, Asda's Vice President of Online Grocery, said, "We are rolling out our express delivery service to almost 100 stores after a trial showed there was a clear gap in the market for a speedy delivery service offering our full online product range for delivery within an hour."
Council buildings across the region could be sold off and developed into housing as local authorities shift to new post-COVID working arrangements. Across the Black Country, councils are in the process of adopting new hybrid working models, which will see thousands of staff splitting their time between home and town halls. Council offices were shut down at the start of the first lockdown, and the majority have only started reopening to staff in recent months. And with many staff set to never return to the office full time, council chiefs say some buildings could become surplus to requirements and sold off to meet the region's chronic housing need. Councillor Patrick Harley, leader of Dudley Council, said his authority was looking at a model of hot desking, which would see around one third of staff working from home on any given day. This will give us the opportunity to look at our buildings and possibly get rid of some that are not being used to turn them into housing, he added. Wolverhampton Council said there had been a consistent presence of staff at the Civic Centre since restrictions were lifted in July. On-site staffing numbers were increased in mid-September, a spokesperson said, adding, "We continue to pilot new ways of working, capturing the benefits of working in a more agile way. We anticipate an agile model for the future, which involves a mixture of home and office-based working for many colleagues, while always ensuring residents' needs are met." The Civic Centre has been used as a COVID testing centre since January and in recent weeks has served as a temporary home to Housing Ministry staff ahead of their move to the I9 building.
More than £30 million in government funding has been landed for brownfield regeneration in the West Midlands. The West Midlands Combined Authority has secured £33 million from the Brownfield Housing Fund, which allocates cash to bring old industrial sites back into use. Bosses are aiming to regenerate enough land for 7,500 homes, having received £51 million from the same fund last year, which went towards sites including Culwell Street in Wolverhampton. West Midlands Mayor Andy Street said the funding would help to protect the Greenbelt, although it is understood it will not reduce housing targets outlined in the Black Country Plan. He said the cash was a huge vote of confidence in the region and added, "Developing homes and creating new communities on brownfield land has been one of the region's real success stories of recent years, and we will now be able to keep up our momentum thanks to this latest funding. By using government cash to clean up derelict industrial land, we've helped create thousands of new homes and jobs, whilst also protecting our precious and irreplaceable greenbelt. Bosses are planning to use cash from the fund for the restoration and conversion of heritage buildings into new homes in town centres, as well as mixed-use developments around key transport hubs and major brownfield housing projects. The West Midlands Combined Authority is committed to creating 215,000 new homes in the region by 2031.
Now we get to hear from Kerry, who works at the Beacon Centre and has for us some advice on reading apps.
Hello everyone. I'd like to share some information with you about a few useful apps for blind and low vision users which can help you to read printed material using your smartphone. They're free to download, so if you're not able to read your post or if you struggle to read cooking instructions or ingredient lists, for example, then it's definitely worth giving them a try. The first app I'm going to discuss is probably the most popular one, and it's called Seeing AI. This app has been developed by Microsoft solely for use on Apple devices. Its ability to read short text just by pointing the camera and read full page documents without having to touch the device's screen are undoubtedly the best features of the app. In addition, the app makes a reasonable attempt at reading product barcodes, handwriting, and can also describe scenes and colours and identify people, currency and light sources. The second app is called ID. This is spelt EYE-D. This app is available for both Apple and Android devices. In addition to reading printing material, the app has the ability to inform you of your location, help you explore what's around you by looking for cafes, ATM machines, bus stations and shops, etc. within a specified radius. And last but not least is an app called Sullivan Plus. Again, this is available for both Apple and Android devices. This is probably my favourite of the free apps as it is really simple to use with just three functions: text recognition, face recognition and image description. There are other similar apps available, however some do require either a one-off payment or a subscription fee. A tip for those of you with low vision and who might need a little bit of magnification is to use your smartphone's camera. Simply open up the camera app, point it at the text you want to read, and pinch out with two fingers to magnify. If anyone out there would like any further information or assistance, please give the Beacon Centre a call and a member of the IT team will get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for that, Kerry. Those apps sound fantastic. Now we have some more local news. And starting us off, we have Liz.
Olympic boxer Ben Whittaker feared he'd lost his silver medal from Tokyo before breathing a sigh of relief when he found it in the boot of his car. The star of the Summer Games amazed pupils at four Wolverhampton schools with tales from the Olympics and showing off the medal he is now proud of, having initially not worn it on the podium. The Darlaston fighter accompanied Mayor of Wolverhampton councillor Greg Brackenridge to Wensfield High Academy, Coppice School, Moseley Park and Springvale Primary School. The 24-year-old shot to stardom in the summer with his fighting prowess and cheeky post-fight interviews when claimed he would end up Mayor of Wolverhampton if he won gold in Japan. Sporting a multicoloured haircut and wearing his Great Britain team tracksuit, the boxer took time to tell children about the secret of his success, his struggles at school and hopes for the future. He said, "Life has changed since Tokyo. I can't go and buy a bottle of milk at Asda now without someone recognising me, but it's fantastic because I can make someone's day with a smile or conversation. I love coming to schools and speaking to children. It is something I'm more than happy to do. I believe in giving back. I never had that person to look up to, but I want to be that person to local kids."
Environmentally friendly bus shelters, which can improve air quality, generate their own power and even attract bees, have been installed in Hales Owen. The plant-topped bus shelters are the result of Hales Owen in Bloom, Transport for West Midlands and Hales Owen Business Improvement District working together to improve the town centre. The shelters are made from recycled materials and their roofs include plants designed to reduce carbon in the environment as well as filters to catch fine particles and improve air quality. Wildflowers, which attract bees and other pollinators, will grow from the eaves and roof edges and appear during the spring, turning the bus stops to buzz stops. The shelters also have solar panels, which will not only generate power for the display screens and lights, but also allow people to charge their mobile phones for free while waiting for the bus. The manufacturer, Bus Shelters Limited, developed the new shelters and installed two prototypes in Queensway, and they are already proving popular. If the trial is successful, more environmentally friendly stops could be installed as Transport for West Midlands replaces and renews its 5,000 bus shelters across the region, which will help the region's bid to be carbon neutral. Councillor Kath Hartley, who chairs Transport for West Midlands Transport Delivery Committee, said, "As we face this climate emergency, it is important we look at new ways of improving our environment. Not only can it make a difference to the air we breathe, but offers real convenience for bus passengers with the offer of free solar-powered phone charging while they wait. A great innovation. I look forward to seeing more of these shelters on our streets in the future."
A devoted PCSO from Wolverhampton celebrated his 70th birthday by patrolling the streets of his beloved beat. Paul Richardson was one of the first police community support officers in the city and is still going strong decades on. The award-winning officer has been a familiar face around the city centre since 2003 and has developed strong connections with retailers, shoppers and his colleagues. So it was no surprise when he decided to spend his recent 70th birthday on duty, helping to keep the streets safe. His colleagues ensured Paul received a pre-shift birthday surprise by decorating the police station with messages and presenting him with a large cake. The grandfather of four said, "The place to be for me was on the beat and my family were very supportive. They know how important this role is to me. I take great pride in being out on the streets to help prevent crime and ensure people can enjoy being in the city centre, whatever time of the day, without a fear of crime. I can be out until 3 a.m. some mornings, but I would feel guilty if I wasn't out there with my team. It was quite emotional with all the goodwill shown to me on my birthday.
Dudley Winter Ale Fair is set to return to the town this November. Over 60 real ales, ciders and a keg bar and cocktails will be on offer when the popular event returns to the town hall on November the 25th. It comes after last year's event was cancelled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Organisers from Dudley and South Staffordshire branch of Campaign for Real Ales have put a host of safety measures in place for this year's festivities, including contactless payments, changes to the layout of the hall, and increased sessions. Carl Denning, festival organiser, said, "This is our 20th festival at the Grade 2 listed hall and Camera's 50th anniversary, so promises to be a great event. There will be food on all 3 days and live entertainment on Friday and Saturday. After the last 18 months or so, the Black Country and Dudley really needs a beer festival to remember what life was like before COVID hit. What you can be guaranteed of is a big Black Country welcome, good real ale from the likes of Sarah Hughes, Kinver and Bathams, to name but a few. After last year's heavy heart, we are all looking forward to seeing some regular attendees come along with some new faces with a much lighter heart and hope for much better times ahead. The festival runs from Thursday, November the 25th to Saturday, November the 27th.
Canadian fast food brand Tim Hortons has revealed its drive-through restaurant at Bentley Bridge in Wensfield will open its doors later this month. The company said the branch would launch on the 20th of October at 7 a.m. at the retail park, with the first 100 customers receiving a free breakfast meal. And the very first person in the drive-thru and restaurant queue will be awarded with free drinks for a whole year, a price worth around £3,100. Tim Hortons will also run a series of giveaways, including free drinks and donuts for customers who activate their digital wallet to celebrate the opening. Kevin Hyde, Chief Commercial Officer of Tim Hortons franchise in the UK, said, "We have recently received a lot of love from the West Midlands community ever since we opened our first restaurant in the region in 2018. And so it brings me great pleasure to be announcing our opening date in Wolverhampton. We are a brand that never likes to launch quietly and are renowned for our generous opening offers and giveaways. Our launch on the 20th of October will be no different, and we can't wait to welcome both fans and first-timers throughout the day. It will be open around the clock from 6 a.m. until midnight, 7 days a week, and will feature a string of best-selling items including donuts and coffee."
Now it's time to hear from our ever-knowledgeable Flashback Roger for another Did You Know feature.
Hello everybody. This week I found some items out about photography that I hope you'll enjoy. They've made me think how easy it is now to take a snap and to think about how technology has made photography such an everyday thing in our lives. So here we go. Now watch the birdie. Now did you know that in 1975, Stephen Sasson invented the world's first digital camera, and he was working for Kodak at the time. Stephen's camera weighed around 8 pounds, 3.6 kilos, and shot at only 0.01 megapixels. The average weight of a modern camera is around 2 pounds, with an averaged resolution of 16 megapixels is a whacking 1600 times sharper. There is no number for how many photos are taken each day, but estimates suggest that more than 1 trillion photographs are taken in a year. On average, 95 million photos are uploaded daily on Instagram, with over 300 million photos uploaded to Facebook every day. In days gone by, having your photograph taken could be a dodgy business. One of the most dangerous photography facts is about flashes. Photographers mix potassium chloride and aluminium. This mixture would create a bright flash when introduced to a spark. These connections often led to violent explosions if they weren't properly mixed. Most brand names have a strong connection between their product and their name. For example, Canon means a rule, a law or a principle. Ilford takes its name from a birthplace, and Olympus is the home of the Greek gods, but Kodak has no real meaning. George Eastman, the founder of Kodak, said that the letter K sounded strong, so he formed a word around it. When the Apollo 11 mission took off for the moon, they carried 12 Hasselblad cameras with them. The astronauts decided that the cameras were too heavy for the return journey, so they left them there, behind on the moon, to make space for the 25 kilos of rock samples they brought back. They did, however, bring back the film. And if, like me, you've ever wondered why people rarely smiled on old photographs, well, they were taken with huge, large-format cameras. Because the technology wasn't advanced, an image would take hours to expose correctly. The subjects didn't smile much because they had to stay still for hours on end for one photograph. Taking the photo often involved the use of a head brace for support. Understandably, smiling for hours was a difficult feat. Well, after digging into this week's subject, I'm sure that I'll appreciate my camera phone more than before. So till next week, keep smiling and say cheese! Ooh, talking of which, I think I'll fancy a cheese on toast for my lunch for a change. So I'll say bye for now, folks. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra!
Thank you for those fantastic facts, Roger. Up next, we now have Mina, who has for us a weather update.
The weather for this week ahead looks to start off dry, but rain soon develops as the week progresses, with temperatures hovering around 14 degrees. UV levels are expected to be low throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:40 a.m. for the sunrise and 6:05 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 15th of October through to Sunday 17th of October, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 15 degrees. On Monday 18th and Tuesday 19th of October, we have light rain and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 16 degrees. Moving on to Wednesday 20th of October, we have light rain showers and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. And finally, on Thursday 21st of October, we have light rain, a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. So that's your forecast for this week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Now we have our sportsman, Ian, giving you all the latest football news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news. Boss Bruno Lage hopes Raul Jimenez can continue to wreak havoc between the lines after his best Wolves performance since returning from a fractured skull. Star striker Jimenez was the creative spark in the 2-1 victory against Newcastle before this international break, setting up both goals for Hwang Hee-chan. Lage insists that the display was the finest he has seen from the Mexican, having told him to drop in and find those pockets of space. Raul is a hard worker, said Lage. In the first day when I saw him, he ran all over the pitch. He went from one flank to another, and I said, look, you cannot play like that. We are going to play in a different way, and you are going to play more in between the lines. It was his best game and he didn't score goals, but it was the best. He came to play between the lines, and the job he did in the second goal for me was amazing. It was on the same level as the goal he scored against Southampton. Jimenez has started to hit form again over the past few weeks for Wolves. Supporters are excited about the partnership between him and Hwang, and hope it can reach a similar level to the dynamic enjoyed between Jimenez and Diogo Jota previously. Lage, meanwhile, says all his forward players have the freedom to express themselves. All the players have a good environment and have a team to play good football, he added. I don't believe they like to play without the ball. I believe they want to play with the ball, and we have that kind of game. They can give us lots of things. Wolves next face a local derby as they take on Aston Villa away at Villa Park this coming Saturday. Boss Valerian Ismail believes assistant coaches Adam Murray and James Morrison have been integral to Albion's impressive start to the season. The 4-0 win at Cardiff last month ensured the Baggies got through their first 10 championship games undefeated, something no other Albion side has achieved. that unbeaten run came to an end at Stoke in their final outing before the international break. But despite that loss, Albion still sit second in the Championship table as they prepare for a derby against Blues on Friday. Following his appointment as head coach, Ismael moved quickly to ensure Murray joined him in swapping Barnsley for the Hawthorns. But the boss inherited legend Morrison, who, following a spell coaching the under-23s, was promoted to work with the first team under former boss Sam Allardyce. And Ismael believes both men have been key to the success the team has enjoyed so far. "Adam and I are on the same page," the Frenchman said. "He is dedicated to the principles of how we want to play. His job is to reinforce and implement the philosophy on the pitch, and the second task is set pieces." James's task at the beginning was more to learn about the philosophy, to understand the wording, because when we train with the guys, we only use one wording for situations, so we all need to speak the same language. So when we are on the sidelines, I use this wording, and every player needs to understand and know exactly what we mean. He showed his quality, and he knows the club. He's a legend. The players respect him. And he gave us a lot of advice about the players and the club and everything around. And now he's a big part of our staff. He wants to learn, and every day he asks a lot of questions. He has a big desire, and he has the same profile as our players. Young, hungry, and wants to improve. He's never too tired to work, and he shows the right mentality. The Baggies' next fixture, like Wolves, sees them in local derby as they take on Birmingham City at the Hawthorns this Friday.
Now we have our Sounds of Nature feature. This week, we get to hear the magpie. The magpie is one of our most familiar birds and the source of much myth and legend. One for sorrow, two for joy is a rhyme that many children learn. Magpies are, in fact, small crows, and are omnivores, feeding on carrion, invertebrates, chicks, and eggs. They're sociable birds, and are often seen chattering noisily in small groups across many habitats, from gardens to parks and heaths to hedges. They're famous for collecting all kinds of objects, particularly anything shiny, to decorate the nest. This recording was made by Lawrence Shove and was made available by the British Library. Up next, we're a piece read by Heather, all about World Sight Day.
Hello, this is Heather with an article about World Sight Day. Each year, World Sight Day is observed in October as a way of drawing attention to the problems caused by sight loss. In its current form, World Sight Day started in the year 2000, when the Sight First campaign of the Lions International Foundation joined forces with Vision 2020. The aim of World Sight Day is to educate people about the problems encountered by visually impaired and blind people and to promote better eye health. Since 2020, different problems have been considered each year. For example, low vision, fighting vision impairment in later life, or the problems blind children may have just negotiating everyday aspects of life in the community and at school. These three topics are just examples, and many more problems have also been discussed in order to encourage good eye health and make sighted people more aware of how they can help any visually impaired or blind people that they may meet. In 2021, this year's theme for World Sight Day is Love Your Eyes. The main campaign day this year is the 14th of October, but activities and publicity are planned throughout the month, focusing on four P's. These four P's are 1. Prevent. Do what you can to make healthy lifestyle choices to prevent deterioration in your eyesight. 2. Protect. Take care of your eyes to avoid damaging your eyesight. 3. Preserve. Make sure you have regular eye tests to check the condition of your eyes. And 4. Prioritise. Make your eye health a top priority. Globally, around 1 billion people have near or distance vision impairments that could be prevented, and governments are being encouraged to put money into prevention programmes at home and abroad. Eyesight problems mean daily activities, interacting with local communities, life at school and work can be difficult for some. Sighted people can often help those with vision problems, and in doing this can make the world an easier, happier place in which all of us can live.
How did you get on at this week's quiz? Well, now's the time to find out, as we head over to Mina, who asked for us the answers.
Hello, and here are your snappy answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. How heavy was the first all-digital camera? And the answer, 8 pounds or 3.6 kg. Question 2. How many photos are posted on Facebook every day? Wait for this. I knew there were loads, but I didn't realise there was this many. 300 million. Wow. Question 3. What could be dangerous about early photography? The answer, a faulty chemical flash. Question 4. What is unusual about the name Kodak? And the answer, it has no actual meaning. And finally, question 5. What is rarely seen on the faces in old photographs? And the answer here is a smiling face. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of a deflating balloon. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we hear from Liz, who has for us a feature about the Black Country's very own Tiger King.
Lions at the Disco and Gorillas in the Garden, how a businessman became the Black Country's Tiger King. Getting no reply from the front door, he spotted the gate and thought he would try his luck round the back. On entering the back garden, he was chased into the road by one of Mr. Foley's lions, forcing him to take refuge in a parked lorry. It is not known whether Mr. Foley bought any encyclopedias. While the Netflix series Tiger King focused on the colourful life of American big cat trainer Joe Exotic, back in the 1970s, Lou Foley was the Black Country's own Tiger King. As well as numerous lions and a tiger called Winston Churchill, the eccentric businessman also kept a gorilla in his garden and a crocodile in the bath. Back in the 70s, Lou and his equally idiosyncratic friend Leslie Maiden, a lion tamer known as One-Eyed Nick, basked in the roles of minor celebrities, courting publicity wherever they went and irritating the authorities in equal measure. When his activities attracted the attention of Sandwell Council, he turned up to a meeting with a hefty lion cub in his arms. The incident with the encyclopedia salesman landed Lou in court, charged with a breach of the peace, prompting him to turn up for the hearing in full evening dress, while his lion tamer sat in the public gallery dressed as a cowboy. Living most of his life in Cradley Heath, although he also variously lived in Dudley, Smethwick and Lye, he became a familiar sight walking Winston the Tiger around the streets of suburbia on a chain or driving them around in the back of his large American estate car. Dave Malpas remembers when he turned up with a lion at a Saturday night disco at the Summerhill Pub in King Swinford. He took it on the stage, he recalls. Barmy Barry the DJ nearly crapped himself along with loads of screaming women. He regularly appeared at shows and fetes with his animals and took them in for a pint at the various pubs he frequented. He appeared on a local news bulletin brushing his first lion Laddo with a broom, and when Winston was a cub, he took him to the Heath Tavern pub for a photo call behind the bar. While in the 1960s there was a bit of a fad for the very wealthy to keep big cats as pets, Lou said it was a spate of break-ins at his house which convinced him of the need for a bit of extra security. "I used to work all over the country, and while I was away, my house was broken into 3 times, and my kids were beaten up," he said in a 2003 interview. "I checked on the law to find out how I could put these burglars off, and I thought I would get a lion, a wild lion," his frown turning into a broad grin. He put up a warning sign, but it still wasn't enough to put one determined individual off. It said on the gate, which was 8 foot high, "Beware of the lion," but this Scotsman came and he climbed over, he said, adding that the lion held the man in his mouth. "The police came with shotguns and I had to go into the cage with half a pig to help get the lion off him." His first lion was called Laddo, but he soon added a lioness called Sheba, and gradually his back garden zoo began to expand. Winston the tiger joined him in 1976, and one morning that year, at the height of the blistering summer, Lou woke up to find 2 more cubs abandoned on his doorstep. He would regale anyone who listened with tales about how he rescued animals from circuses, and there were plenty of people who were fascinated by his unusual pets. Schoolchildren would stand on walls to get a glimpse of the big beasts, and stories of them roaring at passers-by were legendary. Wendy Palmer remembers going on a school coach past his house to the nearby Haddon Hall swimming pool. "We always used to try and get the coach driver to stop so we could see if the lion was out in the garden," she says. But while his activities may have been entertaining, the authorities, and Sandwell Council in particular, quickly grew weary of his unusual hobby. Planning enforcement action was taken against him over the cages he had built behind his house, and he would regularly appear before his local magistrates with 1 or more of his big cats in tow. But it was the incident with the encyclopedia salesman which proved the final straw, leading to Parliament passing its 1976 Dangerous Wild Animals Act, which effectively outlawed keeping big cats as pets. The law led to several owners of big cats releasing their animals into the wild, fueling the regular sightings and speculation about such animals residing in our countryside. Lou reputedly released at least 2 lions onto the Malvern Hills, although this was never substantiated. But while the Dangerous Wild Animals Act may have stopped him keeping lions at his home, there was never any danger of him leading a peaceful retirement. No longer able to keep big cats in his garden, he started keeping heroin addicts there instead. He reckoned he could help addicts overcome their habit by chaining them up in caravans at the back of his house until the craving ceased, and produced at least 1 client who reckoned this rather drastic therapy had worked. Following the death of Diana, Princess of Wales, he opened a hostel for the homeless in her memory, which also saw him fall foul of the authorities. When he was ordered to appear before the magistrates, he changed his name by deed poll to Sir Anti-Corruption UK and insisted on being addressed by that name in court. He died in 2009, aged 70.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who, without their support, we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!